Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Good morning, Baba Quatawab, which means good morning in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. Welcome to the show, y'all. I'm your brother, as always, Taza Pa. Welcome to Bible Talk, sponsored by ISBHP Case for the Truth. I am your host. Hope everybody's healthy. Hope everybody's feeling good. Hope everybody had a good weekend, y'all. Want to send shouts out to all our brothers' schools, man. up in Rochester, VA, H-Town, here in San Antonio, of course, Kashawa and the brothers, the young brothers out in the ABQ, the Kirk, man. Also sending shots out to Cabo Cop down in Guatemala. Man, a lot of stuff going on as usual, y'all. As usual. Whoa. But before I dig into it, y'all, let me shake the morningness off first, man. My goodness. But before I dig into current events and news, let me make a couple of announcements. So on the 27th, y'all, the 27th at even, I believe it's on a Saturday, the Feast of Light, or what we call Hanukkah, or the Feast of Dedication. So that's going down the evening of November 27th, and it's going to continue. Remember, it goes 8 days, y'all, to December the 4th, and that's on a Saturday as well. Here in San Antonio, we have some events scheduled. I'm not precise on what the going downs are, but we are having events. I believe many of them will be at the school that's located on Walsham, y'all. Also, I want to make this announcement. Great news, great news. The Hebrew Summit, man, is going down this year in Dallas, man, up in D-Town. The address is 114 West Hobson Avenue, and it is in Dallas, Texas, going down February 4th through the 6th, y'all. February 4th through the 6th. So that's going down. Great news, man. It's close this year. It's close this year. I myself plan to be in attendance, Lord willing, to fellowship, man, see the brothers. I have never been. Matter of fact, let me stop lying. I have been. I've been to the one that was here. And we had a great time. It was good to see brothers and sisters from all over the country, man, come out, fellowship, just talk, man, and exchange different ideas and just to see each other, man. I mean, it's a beautiful thing when we see each other just in general, man. And I'm talking even from a Jake perspective, man. This is why we like going out to the clubs and the bars and the avenues, what the hangout spots, wherever it might be in your city. I remember we used to go out to the park in St. Louis, man. First it was Forest Park, but they shut that down quick because that area they were trying to preserve for our red counterparts, talking about the so-called white man. They shut that area down quick, man. So we moved over to O'Fallon Park over on the north side of St. Louis, man. And we would congregate. We'd come out there every Sunday and be playing music, barbecuing, playing ball, and just hanging out, man. Unfortunately, you know how it be, man. We love each other, but we hate each other at the same time. There would always be some type of damn violence that went on that would shut the show down, man. You know, no different than we hit the clubs up or the bars or wherever we going to hang out, man. The same thing would happen, but my point is this, man. We really love to see each other. We do, man. We love dressing up to see each other. Putting on our finest to look good for each other. I mean, it's just in our nature. That's who we are as a people, man. You read out throughout the scriptures, you know, the different garments that we have, the different apparels. I remember Meshaba, he's probably still got that book, a Russian icon book that Meshaba has. He shows us where we actually had real gold thread sewed into our garments, man. So it's just in our nature to shine, to look good. So nothing's wrong with that, y'all. So if you think that you shouldn't shine, you shouldn't look good, you think it's sinful or you think it's vanity or whatever you might think it is, man, ain't nothing's wrong with that. Go back and read the scriptures. Go back and read. And Josephus tells us that Solomon had that gold dust in his hair. He even tells you in the scriptures how he had the chariots where it had ivory, love, the word love and ivory, man. But go back and just do some research. There's nothing wrong with shining, nothing wrong with looking good as a people, as a nation. You know, and I don't like saying it, but I do see it in Israel. You have some of the women that they come in and they just let themselves go, man. Don't be real about it. They start looking like old house shoes. And I don't like that look. I know I be banging on my ribs about that, you know what I'm saying? Just because you're an Israelite woman doesn't mean that you shouldn't look presentable, that you shouldn't have what's the word I'm looking for? You shouldn't have a certain standard. Still should look your best, man. You should be looking like an old house shoe. But anyway, that's one of the things I most enjoy about seeing Israel, seeing us coming together. I'm really looking forward to that summit. Like I said, once again, it's going down February 4th through the 6th up in Dallas, Texas, y'all, down here in Tejas. Let me see what else I got. I think that's pretty much all. No, that's not it. I would like to ask all brothers and sisters, man, to please, Baba Kusha, send prayers up for the brother Kanaya. He had an unfortunate accident headed back to San Antonio, man. Brother's car flipped over a couple times, man. But the brother he's doing better, y'all. He's doing better. He had some internal bleeding going on and some other issues. He's still in the hospital, but the brother is recovering. I'd like everybody, man, to please send prayers up for the brother, wishing, hoping that the Most High blesses him with a speedy recovery and restores him back to normal or back to what he was before. All right? I want to send shouts out to his family. I'd also like to ask y'all, send prayers up for all of Israel, man, that's sick, going through whatever they're going through. You know, matter of fact, let me get it. This is Psalms 118 and verse 24. Come on. Stick your Bible. 118 verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. So good or bad, happy or sad, man. All praises definitely due to the Most High, Yahweh Shai, man. Whatever we're going through, he's going to bring us out on the other side of it, and we're going to be better because of it. Better individuals, so we can share with other individuals and show them how to get through something that we've been through already, man. So with that, man, about to start the show, and I'd like to ask y'all to tell a friend to please tune in to Talk of Pod Tuesdays, every Tuesday. So if it's your first time tuning into the show, I spend about an hour on current events and the news, and then I eventually get into the class, and I will be finishing up my class, hopefully today, part two of Getting Clean Again, man. So essential that we continue to do that, man. The clean process does not stop just because you got a baptism class, y'all, just because you cleaned up one time. It's like washing clothes, man. If you wear your clothes, they get dirty, you got to wash them again. The same with our spirits. But that's coming up in about an hour. I'm going to dive into the current events and the news, too. And I don't know what just happened. That's wow. I don't know what that is. I pushed some buttons, y'all, and some, I don't know what that was. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to try my best, y'all, to slow down. to slow down and finish my sentences. I know I have that bad. I just be jumping all over the place. I'm gonna try to do that. But anyway, let me go ahead and jump into it. Let me get this one right here. Let me see if this is the one. Boom. Come on, man. All right. They on this campaign very heavy, man, with the children's vaccinations, man. So I want to bring y'all this story. This is from a local news station, I believe out of the DMV area, ABC Channel 7 News. And the headline reads, 98 students received wrong dosage of Pfizer vaccine at MD Elementary School clinics. Yeah, you don't say. So in case you didn't know, they've ushered in vaccinations for children under the age of 12. And this ain't the first incident that I've heard of either. My wife sent me a clip yesterday of the Breakfast Club, Charlamagne and Lil Fruity Self, gave Donkey of the Day to some drugstore that had administered the COVID but gave the kid the adult dose. She sent me that yesterday. So this is not the first time. It ain't going to be the last time either, man. So let me get into the article. It says, Montgomery County, MD, 7 News. Monday night, Montgomery County began notifying the parents of 98 students that their children were given an incorrect amount of the COVID-19 Pfizer vaccine. Those students received the vaccine at a clinic at South Lake Elementary School in Montgomery Village on November 10th, according to a release from the county. Where we at? Come on, man. Where's the rest of the damn story, y'all? Here we go. In a statement issued Tuesday, Pfizer said it would grant a license for the antiviral. Oh, wait a minute. That's a whole nother story. I'm going to get to that one, too. I was trying to find the rest of this story about the 98 kids who was given the wrong dose. It seems not to be coming up. They don't have the rest of the article. It says the 98 children were given Pfizer doses that were diluted more than the recommended amount. So that's what happened. They gave them the wrong dosage. And this stuff is heating up too, y'all. And it's going to become mandatory sooner or later. I was just talking to my rib, saying that we need to be making some hard decisions right now as far as what we're going to do when they do make it mandatory for children, as we all need to do, man. We're going to have to make hard decisions, y'all, because it's getting to that point. Which brings me to the next story. Let me grab this. I don't know if y'all have heard this. Now, this is from CNN, and the headlines read, Europe turns the screws on the unvaccinated as COVID-19 cases climb. All right. It says, London, CNN, Europe's leaders are toughening their stance towards unvaccinated people and pursuing measures that increasingly isolate them from the rest of society as frustration grows over stalling shot roundouts and a wave of COVID-19 infections on the continent. Germany may become the next country to impose stricter rules on those who haven't been fully fully inoculated. After the parties making up its prospective new coalition government hardens their prospective COVID-19 approach in Parliament. The proposed measures would require Germans to provide proof of vaccination or a negative test in order to ride a bus or board a train. And an expansion of the country's 3G system that requires either to enter certain venues and settings. Green Party co-leader Robert Habeck told public broadcast ARD on Sunday that the rules in effect amount to a lockdown for the unvaccinated. Of course it does. But y'all, here it is. They're talking about bus and train and you having to show proof of vaccination or a negative test to get on the train or the bus. And it goes on. It says, the policy documented by the Social Democratic Party, the Free Democratic Party, and the Greens is set for a vote in, hold up, Bundestag, as the three so-called traffic light parties near the formation of a new government. So they got this new government going, but they're locking down on people. Let me find the parts I wanted to get into. Matter of fact, let me play the rest of it. Come on, man. Here we go, y'all. Check this out.
In a world of the unexpected,
commercial.
Customers
sorry,
are
commercial.
Simple and personalized. With IBM, you can do both. Automating IT processes across clouds helps you save time so you can make sure your customers' needs are covered.
It's robust. Thanks for yours.
Protesters gather in Vienna ahead of new restrictions now in effect in Austria and other parts of Europe that target the unvaccinated. Officials from the World Health Organization say Europe is once again at the center of the pandemic, and some governments are getting tough on those who have not been vaccinated by limiting what they can do and where they can go. In Austria, anyone 12 and older who is not fully vaccinated is under a stay-at-home order. That means no going out unless it's for work, taking a walk, or other essential purposes. Though children ages 12 to 15 who are regularly tested under government standards can participate in some public activities.
I think it's very discriminating because I'm allowed to go to work, but the rest of the day I have to stay at home.
With only 65% of Austria's population fully vaccinated against COVID-19, one of the lowest rates in Western Europe, millions of people are now under lockdown again, though there are some exemptions for those who are recently recovered from the virus. Officials say the lockdown will initially last 10 days, and there will be stiff fines for those who don't comply, which will be enforced through spot checks.
Every citizen, every person living in Austria must be aware that they can be checked by the police at any time.
Germany's capital, Berlin, also signaling out the unvaccinated, who under new restrictions called 2G can no longer dine indoors at restaurants, go to bars, cinemas, and other venues. Those privileges are now only for the vaccinated and those who can show proof of recent recovery from COVID-19. The targeted measures come as Germany has some of the highest daily numbers of new coronavirus cases since the pandemic began. Not everyone is happy with the new tactics. Business owners must now turn away customers if they don't meet the criteria. But some who implemented the rules while they were still optional say there is a sense of relief that come from them.
For me and my employees, it makes things easier at work. The customers are also more relaxed. We don't always have to check if customers are wearing their masks when they get up.
So y'all see that it's going on over there in Europe, but it's coming to a country near you. Yes, it's going to come to the States. It's only a matter of time before it happens. I know a lot of naive people may be thinking, well, not in our country. This is the land of the free. We have freedom of this. And say, man, you don't have freedom of anything. You do what the government tells you to do. You know, and I said this way back when they were first coming out with this vaccine, because y'all peep how they said you can't go to stores, public places, and things of that nature. And you got to ask yourself, if you can't go to the grocery store just because you're not vaccinated, then where are you going to get your food from? You see what they're doing? You see what they're doing? They're really pushing it into martial law. This is the beginning of martial law, look, y'all. They're just using the vaccine or using this virus as an excuse, which I've been saying the whole time. They call it a pandemic. This was a plandemic. They planned this. How else would they be able to issue or come up with a damn vaccine so quick? Because they already have these damn vaccines on deck. They was waiting. They was waiting and ready. And everybody's making money hand over fist in the process of about to implement martial law to lock it down, y'all. So we got to be praying more than we ever prayed before. We got to be on our P's and Q's, man, and be watching like Christ told us in Matthew chapter 24, man, because the end is definitely near. Let me get this one too. Which is going to further edify what I'm talking about. What was this one at? I think this was CNN too. But and two, I want to bring this up. I'm looking at all the headlines. Hold on, let me go back. But all of the headlines that I read, man, is basically pushing the vaccine on kids, man. Because last week I covered how Big Bird got vaccinated. Some other damn Sesame Street character this week got vaccinated. So the propaganda is coming just no different than when they first had the vaccines and they, you know, made it emergency use for the public. And everybody start talking about it, and then before you know it, you look up, and they made it mandatory. Even when Biden lying there said he wasn't going to make it mandatory, he came back and made it mandatory anyway, passing that executive order, which just took effect, I believe, this month, to where if you have more than 100 employees, they have to be vaccinated, man, which I believe the governor of Texas is still fighting that. But I haven't heard anything about that. I guess I'll look into that. So I'm looking for, let me see. Give me just a second. I'm going to find this next article I want to get into. Here we go, these bastards. Pfizer signs license agreement to allow broader global access to its experimental COVID-19 antiviral pill. You know, the same people that got the damn vaccine alive and pumping, and they making a damn killing off of that. It says, Pfizer said Tuesday it signed a license agreement to allow broader global access to its experimental COVID-19 pill. The agreement with the Medicine Patent Pool, a United Nations-backed public health organization, would allow generic manufacturers to make the pill widely available in 95 low- and middle-income countries, covering 53% of the world's population, the company said. 53% of the world's population, a little bit more than half. The pill known as PF07321332 or Paxlovid is to be given in combination with an older antiviral drug called ritonavir. I know I'm butchering it. Sorry, y'all. Early this month, Pfizer announced top-line results from its trial, saying that an interim analysis done before trial was scheduled to end showed an 89% reduction in the risk of hospitalizations or death from COVID-19 among people given the drug within the first 3 days of symptom onset. Pfizer will not receive royalties on sales in low-income countries and will further waive royalties on sales in all countries covered by the agreement while COVID-19 remains classified as a public health emergency on international concern by the World Health Organization, Pfizer said in the statement. Of course I ain't charging no damn money because this 53% of the world is about to become y'all damn guinea pigs. Why y'all ain't charging for it? I can't believe, man, people are very stupid and naive and desperate. That's the whole reason they're trying to say that, that's the whole reason they're doing those lockdowns in Europe, which is coming over here, and they're going to just say that you can't go and live out your normal lives. And what's the term they use? FOMO, fear of missing out. They're using fear of missing out to get people to get these vaccines, man, because if you can't go to your local pub, bar, club, movie theater, concerts, you're going to be like, man, I'm missing out. Man, I want to do those things like everybody else. So it's really psychological warfare is what the hell it is. Let me get to this next one. And this is why I say people are just stupid. Come on, man. Where'd it go? This is, let me see if that's it. Nah, there's something else. Let me go back. I guess I'm seeing it. Let me just look for it. Let me search. Sorry, y'all. Man, they had this article. I don't think I'm better. This is from your... this might be it. Let me see if this is it. Man, I can't find it, y'all. I don't know if they took it down or what. It's like it's vanished. But the article was talking about how Wuhan was experimenting with the virus. That gain-of-function research that Fauci was lying about to Congress. So that's what the article was talking about. Man, I cannot find it. Let me look for it again real quick. I'm sorry, I cannot find the article. I think they just removed it. Wow. But like I said, it was talking about that gain of function stuff. Like I said, that Fauci was lying about. And it was going into how they did experiment with not just bats, but they was experimenting with rats also. And cross-splicing the virus. But they were saying that they absolutely did not enhance the virus, which is a damn lie. Damn, it just disappeared, man. Yeah, I think they removed it. Wow. So, Pfizer, like I said, they got this pill that they finna give away for free, as well as the vaccine. Man, you see how they making money hand over fist? This one's a couple of scriptures I want to get to. Let's get Ecclesiasticus. Chapter 12. Yeah, Ecclesiastes chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 10, y'all. I'm going to jump around a little bit. It says, never trust thy enemy, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. So, the scriptures is telling us not to trust our enemy. Who is our enemy? Even though some of us simple Negroes and so-called Hispanics and Native Americans still may not believe that the so-called white man is in fact our enemy, man. He is. He's got control of the whole earth that was given to him by his father, Satan, the devil, the deceiver. And he's in control of it, but the scriptures are telling us not to trust him. It says, for like as iron rusted, so is his wickedness. Y'all ever seen iron rust? And it's going to rust. It's a part of nature. Some type of scientific terminology. I'm not really familiar with it. But I know that iron rust. I don't know the science terminology or how it actually breaks down into rust, but it's a given. If you put iron out in the elements, or even if it's indoors, it's going to rust. So that's what the Most High is trying to get us to see. He says, for like iron rusted, you can guarantee it's going to rust, so it's his wickedness. You can guarantee Esau's wickedness. You can absolutely guarantee it. It's going to happen. For as much hope as you're trying to put in him, like he's your savior, he's going to save you from this pandemic. For as much trust as you're going to put in him, he's going to betray you. He's setting a trap for you. He's setting you up, setting us up for failure, man, if you believe in him being your savior, being your end-all, be-all. You're going to get caught up, man. It says, verse 11, though he humble himself and go crouching, yet take good heed and beware of him, and thou shalt be unlike, I'm sorry, and thou shalt be unto him as wipeth a looking glass. So it says if we beware of him, if we notice this dude, to him we're going to be like somebody that's cleaned our glasses. I know my glasses get dirty from time to time. I got to clean them off, and when I clean them, I can see that much more better. That's what the scriptures is telling us, man. If we take heed and don't fall for his tricks, then we'll be able to see him clearly. That's why the scripture says this. I'm going to read on. It says, that, and thou shall know that his rust has not been altogether wiped away. Going back to the previous precept, when it says iron like iron rust, so is the wickedness of your enemy. I mean, it's guaranteed. But once you clean out your lenses, in this case, it would be your third eye. your brain, you clean your mind up because it's been polluted, it's been dirty, then you'll be able to see, man, this dude still ain't changed. He's still wicked as hell. You can't wipe away his evil. He's not going to change. It's in his DNA. It's who he is. Matter of fact, let me jump down. Verse 16. An enemy speaketh sweetly with his lips, but in his heart he imagineth how to throw thee into a pit. So they speaking good about this vaccine and you're going to be able to do this, you're going to be able to do that. But he set each and every last one of us up for a pit, for a pitfall, for entrapment. Get ready for the FEMA camps, y'all. They designed to lock us up. You don't think they know who we are? You don't think that they know that our Savior is coming back to destroy this place and take away their rulership? Hell, why you think Pilate killed Yahweh Shai? Even though he wants to. He said, my hands is clean. But you know what the Romans did understand? Because the whole accusation that was brought against him was he was saying that he was king. Remember? And then remember how us, some of our sellout niggas were saying that we have no king but Caesar. Remember that? That was us saying that. But they know that Yahweh Shai is coming to end this last fourth kingdom that's talked about in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7, that last kingdom. They know the scriptures. They know Christ and Yahweh Shai is coming back to wipe this place out and take away their rulership and authority over the earth. They know it, and they're trying to prevent it. And they're trying to kill his people. They're trying to slaughter all of us. Why do you think Christ said, except those days be short, and there shall no flesh be saved? They speeding this thing up. And I'm glad they are. Get the hell up out of here. Anyway, verse 16, again says, and an enemy speaketh sweetly with his lips, but in his heart he imagined how to throw thee into a pit. He will weep with his eyes, so they'll show remorse like they really care. And the reason I want to bring this out to y'all, let's not forget, thing first hit, that it really wasn't affecting black people, right? Black and Hispanic people, right? We were going around thinking we was exempt. But then all of a sudden it turned, and bam, it started hitting us worse than it was hitting everybody else. It started affecting us that much more than it was affecting them. So when the proverbial crap hits the fan, who you think is going to affect more, us or them? It says he will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, and that's the part I'm going to get to too, man. When it was hitting us, you had all these people coming out, some of these red people coming out, trying to empathize with us, sympathize with us, saying that, you know, it's a shame that black and brown people are disproportionately affected by this virus. We have to do something. We have to make this an issue. And then they come out with this virus, and who they marketing the virus to us. Why do you think they start marketing it to us so hard with their campaigns? They had, you know, our sports heroes, people like Kareem. And remember Hank Aaron, man. Got the vaccine. And all of this was televised to get us on board with what they was putting down, trying to say how it's safe, it's safe. But remember the history. Never forget the history of these people, how they've been experimenting on us. And I ain't just talking about the Tuskegee experiment, because there's a lot more experiments that they done did on us than that. But what about the psychological experiments that they've done on us, putting us in project homes with those damn concrete floors, those small-ass bedrooms, the same size as cell blocks? What about putting us in conditions where we just were hopeless? Conditions where, and it's sad, too. I was thinking about this the other day. we've normalized growing up not knowing who our parents are, whether it be you never knew your father or you never knew your mother. And that's normal for us. It's like no big deal. We've normalized that. What is that but psychological warfare? But these are the same people that did these things to us, y'all. We can't forget. That's what they want us to. They want us to forget. And they tell us, oh, y'all got to forget the past, move on. But y'all commemorate September 11th every year, right or wrong. Hell, y'all just got to commemorate Veterans, which y'all call Veterans Day. Y'all have a Memorial Day. Y'all celebrate damn y'all independence every 4th of July. But we're supposed to forget everything y'all done to us. Don't be stupid, y'all. Read on. It says, he will weep with his eyes, but if he find opportunity, which he has, he will not be satisfied with blood. I mean, this dude ain't going to be satisfied with killing us. He wants us utterly, utterly destroyed and wiped off the face of the globe. That's what he really wants. Those are his intentions, y'all. We can't forget that. Let me say I have a little time. I want to cover this other. Yeah, let me get this one. Boom. All right, this is from CBS News, y'all. And the headlines read, No Tuna DNA and Subway's Tuna. Lawsuit alleges. So if you're not familiar, Subway's being sued at the water Mashaba. Mashaba had shot me this one. Somebody did a TikTok on it. Also, my stepson Jaleel had hit us up a couple of days ago and told us about this. He works at Subway. But they're getting sued because ain't no tuna in the tuna. It says, pessimists may want to avoid eating Subway's tuna. If one is to believe the allegations, in a revived lawsuit questioning the ingredients in the restaurant's chain seafood, 19 of the 20 tuna samples from Subway outlets throughout Southern California contain animal protein, including chicken, pork, or cattle, but not tuna DNA, according to the latest complaint filed on Monday in U.S. District Court of California. Subway dismissed the claim in the amid suit, the third filed this year, damn, three lawsuits, as meritless, and defended its fish as high-quality, wild-caught, 100% tuna. The company's lawyers are in process of reviewing the claim and plan to file a new motion to dismiss what they call a reckless and improper lawsuit. Three different lawsuits. And they took this stuff all the way to labs, and they find no tuna DNA, none whatsoever. But we got to remember this, man. I want to pull this, because when I'm reading this, this automatically hit me. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28, man. Because we think it's just Subway, man, but what about all the other places that we go to get our food sources from, man? Or are they really giving us what's on the label? Because you know they have a habit of lying about things. And I don't know if y'all knew this, man, but when you when plants operate, excuse me, and they're in mass production of food, the FDA allows a certain amount of rat droppings and things of that nature to be in the food, yeah, they allow it. So if you're eating anything that's mass produced, which we are, we're eating some rat droppings, y'all, and some other stuff. But the Most High told us that, man. That's part of the punishment. So Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 48, it says, therefore, Shall thou serve thy enemies, thy enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger. Meaning what? If we want food, we got to go to who to get it? Our enemy. But remember the scripture I just read in Ecclesiasticus. It says, trust not thy enemy. But remember the Most High put us in the hands of our enemy as punishment and said we don't have to go to our enemies for something to eat. He says, and in thirst for something to drink, and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. This is his plan. He wants to destroy us, y'all. Verse 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies. It says, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. And this is the part I want to get to. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. They don't care. They do not care, man. There's no empathy when it comes to dealing with Esau, man. He has, like the popular saying that they have, the bottom line. What's the bottom line, man? That's all they care about. Their agenda, their wealth, their fortune, their supremacy. That's all they care about. Now I want to get a little bit of this. Boom. Here we go. I don't know if y'all been keeping up with this Rittenhouse trial. So it says, what charges does Kyle Rittenhouse face? And I got this off of AP News. If you ain't familiar with it, let me just read a little bit. Kyle Rittenhouse shot three men, killing two of them and wounding the third during a protest against police brutality in Kenosha, Wisconsin last year. Rittenhouse has agreed that he fired in self-defense after the men attacked him. Here's a look at the charges that prosecutors carried into court, as well as a lesser charge that the judge put before the jury in the final instructions. So he's charged with first degree reckless homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. So in case you're not familiar with the case, this cat was 17 years old. And you know the legal age for having a firearm, a rifle anyway, is 18 in the United States. So he borrowed an AR-15 and he went to Kenosha, Wisconsin, which he don't live there. He traveled there. He traveled there with his AR, with somebody else's AR-15, which is illegal. And he also was posing as an EMT, the first count that's brought against him. It says the second count is first-degree reckless endangering safety, use of dangerous weapons. The third count, first-degree reckless endangering safety, use of dangerous weapons. So he's charged, this is the fourth count, first-degree intentional homicide, use of a dangerous weapon. Is that all the counts? No, fifth count. Attempted first degree intentional homicide, use of dangerous weapon. So he's got seven counts. Failure to comply with an emergency order from state or local government. That's the seventh count. Possession of a dangerous weapon by a person under 18. Yeah, that's what I was talking about. So, I was watching a little bit of the case, the closing arguments yesterday, and this dude, man, off the chain. So he shot this one cat. I believe he was Edomite. He shot him like three times, man. The first shot, they said, basically broke his hip bone. And then he hit him two more times. And this dude is claiming self-defense. And the prosecutor's argument is that you can't claim self-defense when you yourself created danger in the first place. Interesting. Why I'm even bringing this trial up, y'all, is because it's unfair. It's unfair because, you know, they got different rules than we do. And I want to play y'all a little bit of this. Check this out.
My understanding is
you should have come and asked for reconsideration. You did on the one motion, and in fact, I granted your motion.
Now, what I'm playing, I didn't play all of this for lack of time, but the prosecuting attorney is going on with his case, and then suddenly the judge jumps in it and checks him. Now, listen to it.
That was on
We did not file any motions to reconsider this case. That was their motion for reconsideration,
which I did. And I don't know if y'all been paying attention, man, but this judge is not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's an older cat. I believe he's suffering from like some memory loss, dementia or something. Because right here y'all heard him stop. He's stuttering. Well, this is one incident. They got another incident when he was giving the jury their instructions because they're about to deliberate. I believe they're in deliberation right now. But he stopped and took a long pause there even. And he had to consult with counsel and some other people. But this ain't the sharpest knife in the drawer. But going back to the video, check it out.
But I said I denied it. Or I indicated a bias towards denial is what I did. Held it open with a bias towards denial. Why would you think that that made it okay for you without any advance notice to bring this matter before the jury? I was astonished when you began your examination by commenting on the defendant's post-arrest silence. That's basic law. It's been basic law in this country for 40 years, 50 years.
So what he's mad about was, I never seen this, he's mad that the prosecuting attorney brought up this all-American white boy, Kyle Rittenhouse, brought up his previous arrest record. He's mad about that. Why would you be mad about that? I mean, he is on trial. His character is on trial. And this is the reason I wanted to get this article, man, or this video, because y'all remember when George Floyd was killed? And not just him, countless other unarmed black people, Flando Castile, Mike Brown, but they brought up their arrest records, which is defamation of character. They want you to believe that those black, unarmed black people deserve to die. Because of their history with their run-ins with the law, or in George Floyd's case, he was addicted to prescription drugs. They just basically want you to believe that they deserve to die. So they'll bring those things up in those cases. But this dude actually killed three people. And the judge is telling the prosecuting attorney, don't bring up his arrest record. You see how it's different standards for us and them? I hope y'all watching this and paying attention, man. This person, these people are not our friends. They are truly our enemies. But the Most High said this too, man. It's Deuteronomy 32 and verse 21. The Most High told us this. Because you will have a lot of people that watch this and they're outraged by it because it's different strokes for white folks than it is for us. They abide by different rules. They get, like we say, referred to it as white privilege. They are. But the Most High told us this, Deuteronomy 32 and 21. And don't be shocked either, man, because this is their damn kingdom anyway. It says, they have moved me to jealousy, that they is us. This is the Most High speaking. We moved him to jealousy with that which is not God, meaning that which ain't me, which ain't their power. It says they have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. It says I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. When he says those that are not a people, he's talking about the so-called white man. Because the so-called white man has no culture. He has no heritage. His culture and his heritage he stole from everybody else. These are just facts. They call it cultural appropriation, which is really thievery. They steal people's culture. That's what they do. They're culture vultures. But the Most High said he was going to make us jealous. We were going to be jealous over these people. Why? Because they get treated fairly. They get treated with humanity, and we don't. They get a fair shake. They get the benefit of the doubt, but we don't. But this is a part of the curse. This is what the Most High said he was going to do to his children because we won't follow his laws, statutes, and commandments and keep ourselves clean, man, instead of being polluted by this place and by them. Now, I'm going to switch over now, y'all. I got about an hour left to go ahead and finish or attempt to finish my class on staying clean. So let me plug in real quick, y'all. There we go. Hope everybody can hear me loud and clear. So I'm switching over. If you just tuned in, I'm switching over from news and current events to the class. Last week, we covered what? That falling is part of the journey to becoming clean. How to start the cleaning process. And now we're going to deal with the spirit will return. So, like I said earlier, just because you clean yourself up one time, don't think that you're good to go, man, because that's not the case. Those spirits come back. Those spirits linger. So we got to go over how to prepare yourself for when these spirits do come back. So let's go to Mark chapter 9, and we're going to start at verse 23. So Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, and it reads, Jehoshaphat said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So he says, Jehoshaphat said unto him, read it again, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Then Jehoshaphat saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he is dead. Now, there's two things I want to get out of this, y'all. And if you're not familiar with the story, go back and read it. But the disciples had somebody come to them that was vexed with spirits. And they couldn't pull these spirits off of this dude, right? So Christ shows up, and Christ had to do what they were sent out to do. Now, what I want us to pay attention to is he says in verse 26, and the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. So before you can get an unclean spirit or the old nigga you to leave, understand it's going to be a battle. Understand that spirit is not going to want to leave you. It ain't going to be light work. You have to put some real effort and some real work into it to get the old nigga you to leave. It says, and the spirit cried out and rent him sore. It's going to tear you up. You're going to be exhausted. It says, and came out of him, and he was as one dead. You see this? This is how much energy it's going to take to fight yourself, to fight the old you. And so much that many said he is dead. Verse 27, but Jehoshaphat took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? So they said, man, why we couldn't cast this evil, wicked spirit out of this dude? Listen to what Jehoshaphat said. But Yahushua took him by the hand and lifted him up. I'm sorry. What was I at? Verse 29. I'm sorry, y'all. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So we got to understand that. We got to put some real painstaking effort in it. You got to be diligent. Diligent with trying to clean yourself up, man. You got to put some work in. It ain't going to happen by itself. He said, two things I'm going to take away from this, y'all. It's going to be a battle. That spirit's going to wrench you. It's going to exhaust you. And then, two, you got to be sending prayers up, and you got to be fasting from whatever it is you're trying to abstain from. You got to stay away from it. You got to actually dedicate yourself. Like I was getting into about the, and I'm a matter of fact, I didn't get into it, but this week I'm definitely going to get into different triggers. You know, triggers are things that will make you go do the thing that you want to do. And it don't be big stuff. It be small stuff. Like I said, it might be a smell, might be a movie, might be a song, might be whatever it is. If you know those things are going to trigger you to go back into your dirt, you got to stay away from it. You can't partake in it. It's just like an alcoholic being in a damn bar. That ain't a good spot for you to be at, homie. You're going to relapse because you're going to see everybody there doing what? Drinking. So you're going to want to do what? You're going to want to drink. And you know that one drink, just that one sip, that one drop is going to set you back. That's going to be disastrous for you. So you have to abstain from whatever it is, whatever trigger that's going to get you to go left. You got to stay away from it. It might be your damn cell phone, social media. That might be one of your triggers to get you to go back to your dirt. And if that is the case, man, cut it off. Don't mess with it. All together or for a time period to where you feel like you've grown strong enough in the spirit to handle it. You got to cut it off, whatever it might be. Fast from it for a while or indefinitely. Just abstain from doing it if it's going to get you back dirty. Let's go to James chapter 4, because a lot of times that'd be our issue too, man. We think we can handle certain things. You know, our egos get puffed. That's nothing. I'm over that. Understand that you ain't never going to be over that, man. It's like I was saying last week, when you deal with the substance abusers or the alcoholics, man, they don't say I'm a former drug addict. I'm a former alcoholic. They say I am. I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. They let you know I am. When they say I am, they're still letting you know that they're still dealing with that issue. They haven't gotten over it. It's no different with us, y'all. The thing you think you cleaned yourself up from is always going to be with you. That's the disadvantage of being in this flesh. I hope we understand in this, man. Our flesh is like a damn tape recorder. It's recorded all of the sensual things that we've experienced. All the carnal things we've experienced is recorded in our flesh. To where a certain touch, a certain scent, a certain movement, a certain thing that we might see puts us back in the moment. Let's get James chapter 4 and verse 7. So if you have to avoid these things to keep you clean, then please do so. And you have to. So James 4 and 7, it says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God, or the Most High. And how do you submit yourself to the Most High? You submit yourself to what Christ just talked about in Mark chapter 9, fasting and prayer. That's how you submit. Fasting, prayer, studying. Like I said, use all your resources, man. That's how you submit yourself to the Most High, rather than submitting yourself to your dirt, your lust. You need that to, you need fasting, praying, and studying to be a distraction from your flesh. No different than your flesh is trying to distract you from fasting, praying, and studying. Don't you know that the spirit and the flesh is constantly at war, constantly at a tug of war, constantly at odds against one another? Matter of fact, let me get that. I don't know why I put this in class. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, for the flesh lusted against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another. It didn't say they agree. It didn't say in agreeance. It says they're contrary, which means to be against or at odds. So your flesh or your spirit is contrary or at odds against your flesh, and your flesh is contrary against your spirit. And the spirit that you were created to be in, the spirit of the Most High, because remember it tells us in St. John that the Most High is a spirit. And he said, the time cometh and now is where the Father seeketh such. Matter of fact, let me get it. Hold Galatians 5, 17. We're coming back to that. Hold James 2. I got to get this one. Here's St. John chapter 4, because I don't want to misquote it. I don't want to butcher the scripture. It says, St. John 4, 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It says must, not maybe. It says we must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we know that from St. John 6 and 63 that the spirit is the word and the word is truth. But let me jump up to verse 23. This is what I wanted to get to. It says, but the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. The Most High is seeking. He's waiting on us to clean ourselves up so he can dwell in us, y'all. He's waiting for us to clean ourselves up so he can dwell. That's why I said he seeketh such to worship him. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that you are the spirit of the Most High, and the Most High dwells in you? The only way he can dwell in our spirit is if our spirit is clean. The Most High ain't dwelling in no filthiness. He ain't living in no filthiness. We got to understand that. We have to clean ourselves up. Now going back to James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to the Most High. It says, resist the devil. What devil is it talking about? It ain't talking about the spiritual entity, not just by itself. It's talking about the devil that's in you. The devil that's in your ass. The devil that's in us all. The deceiver that's in us all. So when it says resist the devil, it ain't just talking about the spiritual entity. It's talking about you. So resist you, and he will flee from you. The old man will leave. He'll flee from you, but let's find out how long he's going to be gone. Because we read this and think, oh, it's over. I won my battle. We get like Paul talking about, I fought the good fight. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Let's find out if that's the end all be all. Once you clean yourself up that one time. So Luke chapter 4, let's read verse 13. Now, if you ain't familiar with this chapter, this is when Satan was tempting Yahushua. So Luke chapter 4, verse 13, it says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Are we listening? It says for a season. Meaning what? For a while. For a while. Because you remember, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ was tempted also. Remember? It says he was sweating so bad, he was sweating blood. Remember that? And what did Christ do? He went to the Most High three times, asking if the cup could pass from him. Remember that? So what was Christ battling? He was battling himself. He was battling his flesh because he knew the scriptures. He knew the prophecy. He knew what he had to go through. He had his instructions. He didn't want to get no ass whooping and be crucified, be murdered. Who wants that? Who want to go through that? Nobody's raising their hands for that. He didn't want to go through it. So Christ had to fight his flesh. Remember, the scriptures also tell us in that chapter, it says angels ministered unto him. What do you think the angels was telling Christ? What do you think they was giving him? Scriptures. Telling him what he needed to do, the benefit of what he was about to do. How many people that he was going to save with him putting his flesh to the side and not being carnal and just thinking about him, but thinking about other people. What makes us think we're above that? That's why the scriptures tell us in Hebrew, it behooved him. He thought it proper to be made like us, to be made in the flesh so he can experience the things that we go through and battle and make it through those things. And his reason, one of his reasons, is so we wouldn't have no damn excuse. You know, and that's why it bothers me so much when the doctrine is taught that Christ was conceived by the Holy Spirit. I'm like, man, y'all really don't know what a disservice and what the triumphant glory y'all taking away from Christ when y'all make such an idiotic statement or y'all believe that idiotic doctrine. Because if you believe that, then you can say, well, Christ was a spirit. I can never achieve the things he achieved. I can never be tempted and fight my flesh the way he fought his flesh. People will use that doctrine to get out of fighting their battles. Well, he was an angel, so he could do that. Even though it's countless scriptures that tell you how he came from the seed of David, how he was made in the flesh. Go back and read Hebrews. An actual man, a human being that got here the same way we got here. His mom and daddy bumped uglies, and that's how he came. No different than how we got here. Our parents doing the names, that's how we got here. Christ didn't come no different way, y'all. And to say that he did, you take away all his glory. You take away the reason we even worship him. The reason we even have our grace is because of him. You take away all of that. But anyway, getting back to my point, the old you will flee you for a season, but it's coming back. But what we have to find out is we got to find out our cycles, y'all. So let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I'm going to start at verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1. To everything, there is a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. So it says to everything, there's a season. So there's a season to you going through your battles. Yep, y'all. And you have to, if you got to mark this down on the calendar, do it. Because everybody has their season or their cycle with when they're going through, okay, I'm dirty. Okay, I was able to stay clean for this long. Okay, but like always, damn, got me again. Or damn, every time I do this, this happens. Every time my spirit experiences this emotion, I go out and do this. Every time this person makes me feel like this, I go out and do this. We have to know our seasons, our cycles. Now let's jump over to Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and we can start at verse 9. It says, the thing that had been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. It's letting us know. And we always use the scripture to show that history repeats itself. Well, that's true with dealing with you and you being dirty and your negative. Your negative is going to repeat itself if you're not aware of it, y'all. Let me read on. It says, is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old times, which was before us. There is no remembrance of former things. Hold on, wait a minute. Yeah, that's the part I want to get to. Verse 10. Is there anything whereof it may be said, see, this is new? It has been already of old times, which was before us. So there's nothing new in dealing with our wickedness, our temptations, the dirt that's in us. Ain't nothing new. It's familiar. We already know these things, but we have to be aware of the cycles, y'all. We have to be aware of what's going to trigger us to so last time this got me. I'm sorry, I said I won't do that. Let me finish my sentence. We have to be aware of what triggered us to dive into our dirt, to be aware of this so we can have a reference point to know when this happens, I do this. I drink too much. Or when this happens, man, all I want to do is just have sex. Or when this happens, all I want to do is sleep. We have to be aware of these things. Write them down. Keep a journal. Take notes. I promise you it's going to be beneficial for when that hits you again. And don't write down just the instance that set you off. Write down what you did that helped you. Colossians now, chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 21. And it reads, it says, here it is. Colossians chapter 2, verse 21. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Why though? Because that little bit of touch, you touch some of your dirt. I mean, I'm just doing this, ain't that bad. That could set you off. It sets you off. That can be very detrimental for you if you just touch a little bit of it. I'm going to stick my pinky toe in. You might not come back from that, man. That's going to cause you to relapse and just spiral out of control. It says, touch not, taste not. I mean, don't even get a taste of it. It says, handle not. Don't go nowhere near it. It says, which all are to perish with the using. Why does it say touch not, taste not, handle not? All are to perish with the using. It's going to cause you to die, man. It's going to cause you to go to that point of no return. Because some things you just can't come back from, man. We got to understand this. Some things just become that stronghold you just cannot get over. I've seen it. I've seen brothers and sisters, man. And you talk to them years later, and they're still talking about whatever it was that happened that made them leave, which became a stronghold for them. They're still talking about it. Verse 22 again, it says, which all are to perish with the using. It says, after the commandments and doctrines of men. The commandments and the doctrine of not the Most High, but men, y'all. But men. Hold on, Michelle, I just got this. Yeah, I'm glad you sent me that. Those familiar spirits. We know those familiar spirits, y'all. And the definition for familiar is well known from long or close association, man. Ain't nothing new. We know these things, but we have to be aware of them when they arise. We have to be. Or you're going to get caught slipping with your pants down, so to speak. I'm sorry, LaBia. I'm sending it to you now. I know it's late, but I'm sending it to you. Give me a second. I'm going to get back to my point. So we're in Colossians chapter 2. Let me verse 22 again. It says, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. The commandments and doctrines of men is your commandment and your doctrine. It's your G code. It's your code you got set up for yourself, which always leads you to what? To damn destruction. It says, which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will, worship. Hold on, let me read again. Which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom in will, worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. It says, which things have indeed a shoe of wisdom? What things have a shoe of wisdom? Because you've been down that road already. It's been shown to you before that that's the way to destruction. That's the way you're going to fall back into your dirt. That's the way you're going to go back into your wickedness. It's already been shown to you. If you worship these things, but you have to have some humility about it. It says, and neglecting of the body. You have to do what? Neglect your flesh. Neglect that thing that's pulling on you. Neglect those familiar spirits. Because all those things do is satisfy your flesh. And remember what Yahweh Shah told us, St. John 6 and 63. It is the spirit that quickens, the flesh profited nothing. These words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So you want to get your spirit right? You want to live a dirt-free life or a righteous life? You got to be having your head in the book, man. You got to get in the scriptures. You got to fast. You got to pray. You got to come around brothers and sisters who are like-minded. You got to be aware of your cycles, man. That's mandatory. See in Matthew chapter 8. Not 18. Matthew chapter 18. I'm going to start at verse 8. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, wherefore, if thy hand, listen up to this, y'all. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life hard and maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire, man. Listen to that. Christ said, cut it off. Whatever the problem might be, cut it off. Now, he's talking about a physical cut off. But we got to be spiritual and not cutting off, man. Christ took it to the extreme, like, man, cut it off. It'd be better to enter maimed. But that's the way we should be in our spirit. Those triggers that we have, those things that make us go left, we have to cut them off. Man, we got to maim ourselves spiritually. Even to the point, you're supposed to get to the point where you don't even recognize yourself no more, or those things about you that you used to do anymore because you cut them off. But keep in mind, they still going to be there lingering. You know, and I like the example that he gave, because my father, he had some heart issues. His blood wasn't circulating properly. So he ended up having to get his foot amputated on one leg, and had to get a portion of his leg amputated on the, and there were times I would talk to him, he'd say he still felt like he had his foot or he still had his leg, man. he would feel like that. And I bring this up to say that once you cut those things off, y'all, they still there. they still are lingering. The feeling of those things are still going to be there with you once you cut them off. Verse 9, it says, and if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast in the hellfire. Once again, Christ telling us, cut it off, man. Whatever it is, whatever your dirt, whatever the thing that puts you back in the memory of your dirt, cut it off. We need good, healthy distractions to keep us from dirtying ourselves up. Like I said in the previous class, man, use all your resources. Studying, fasting, prayer, audio Bible, and find a damn hobby, man. Keep your mind occupied. Keep your mind busy. Give Ezekiel chapter 18 and 24, because we got to understand what's at stake. Christ told us to cut those things off just to make it to the kingdom, because we know ain't nothing defiled going to the kingdom, y'all. So when you're doing your dirt, man, you got to ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth me forfeiting my interest to the kingdom? So Ezekiel chapter 18, 24 says, but when the righteous turn away from his righteousness and commit iniquity and do it according to all the abominations that the wicked man do it, shall he live? Ask another question. He's going to answer it right here. It says, all his righteousness that he had done shall not be mentioned. You see that? It says, when the righteous turn away. So as soon as you turn away and dabble into your dirt, all the righteous things you did just been wiped away. You got to start from scratch. It's like you're starting all over, man. It says, in his trespass that he had trespassed, and in his sin that he had sinned, in them shall he die. I hope you're paying attention to this. You're only as good as your last good deed. Verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. And we'll be going through the man, it ain't fair. This ain't fair. How is it not fair when a man actually had to die for you being dirty? And not only that, he gave you a way to come back, which is our grace, gave us a way to get ourselves together till he returned. But yet and still, we say it ain't fair. It ain't fair because we can't just lay up and bathe in our filthiness and do what we want to do, that we're supposed to have restraints. We're supposed to have guidelines. We're supposed to have lines that we won't cross over. That ain't fair. Tell me, man, this ain't in a damn child's mentality. Because that'd be the damn thing my kids be hollering around, oh, that's not fair. That ain't fair. It ain't fair that your ass is disobedient and don't want to respect your elders, yet and still you got something to eat every day. You got a roof over your head. You can go in the pantry and eat whatever you want to eat when you want to eat it. I be telling my kids this, man. I be going into them. Because I ain't grew up like this, man. I grew up eating damn Reagan grilled cheese sandwiches and ramen noodles, damn Vienna sausage, potty meat. I grew up where sometimes we would have to heat the water up because our heat got cut off. Walking around the house in a damn coat because mom and dad didn't have money to pay the bill. This is where I came from. I be telling them all the time, their ass is spoiled. And I be damned if I'm letting some spoiled-ass kids talk to me and disrespect me. That I ain't going for that one. Yahweh Shai, the Most High, look at us the same way. He ain't going for that. And we say, well, I'm going to read it again. We're in Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 25. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Or not your ways unequal? You the Most High saying? Like, nah, you the niggas that ain't fair. Y'all niggas ain't fair. Y'all think I'm supposed to let y'all do all y'all dirt, and then y'all just come back and just y'all forgiving and then go do dirt again. I'm supposed to keep just forgiving y'all. Hell no, I don't work like that, man. And then we got this thing that we learned from the world about unconditional love. Ain't no damn such thing as unconditional love, man. Love is conditional. I mean, really examine love. Look at it. If you love somebody and you doing things for them and they just start doing off-the-wall things, disrespecting you, not appreciate the things that you're doing for them, are you going to keep loving them? Hell no, you ain't. You'd be a fool to do that. You be a damn fool. Love is conditional. I'ma love you as long as you do what I'm telling you to do. Ain't that how we deal with our kids? That's why we love them, right? One of the reasons anyway, because they do what the hell we tell them to do. But the moment they stop doing what we tell them to do, we kicking their ass out the house. You want to be obedient? Oh, okay, cool. Bye. I'm going to love you from a distance, is what we say, right? And I ain't talking about no damn Marvin Gaye distant lover. I'm talking about that kind of love that I'm only going to love you when I see your ass. I ain't trying to sound harsh. I'm just being real, man. I done kicked kids out before. I ain't had no pleasure in doing it, but it had to be done. But how is it we think that we can do whatever we want to do and keep coming back to the Most High, he going to love us? No, his love is conditional. Here's St. John chapter 8. St. John chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 34. Jesus, or Yahweh Shai, answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. Listen to that, y'all. If you keep going back to your negatives, keep going back to your dirt, then you're just going to be serving your dirt. You're going to be serving your flesh all the time. It's going to take control of you. 35. And the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided forever. Let's get Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. We're going to start at verse 12. Let me read quite a bit of this. Got a little time left, too. I might be able to finish. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. So here's Paul telling us that we shouldn't let sin reign in our mortal bodies. Now, I got the definition of reign. It says reign, dominating power or influence. So essentially what he's saying is don't let your sin, your dirt dominate or influence you. Basically take control of your body, man. Take control of you walking around like a damn zombie, following after your lust. I done seen it. I done experienced it. This can happen. That's why he tells us. Read it again. Romans chapter 6, verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. How do you yield your members, talking about your body, how do you yield your body as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin? Because you're not aware of it. You walking around hoo-hoo, fancy free, like you ain't in danger. Like at any moment, you can't slip and fall back into your negative. It says, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And a lot of people try to use this, say, we ain't got to keep the law no more. But what they don't understand, like Paul said, he said, I have not known sin but by the law. So how does that mean that the law is done away with when Paul said he didn't have a clue as to what sin was until he had the law? So this don't mean that we just disregard the law, because think about it, y'all. There's three sets of laws, right? I'm sorry, five sets of laws. I'm tripping. But the ones I want to home in right now on is the moral laws and the civic laws. We have to have, I always say this, a moral compass. What gives us that damn moral compass but the moral laws of the Most High that tells us what? Don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. Don't sleep with your daughter. Don't sleep with a dog. Things of that nature. It keeps us what? Clean from that particular filth. That's why we even have it in the first place. But just goes to show you that the law ain't done. Ain't done and dead with it. We won't have to keep it no more. That's nonsense. That's part of becoming spiritual. Paul tells Romans chapter 7, the chapter over, that the law is spiritual. So you want to become spiritual, keep those laws. How am I going to learn some damn morals if I don't have a moral guideline that actually shows me what morals are? It's impossible. But reading on, matter of fact, before I even read on, because you have even a lot of Israelites that be banking on just keeping the law, but not dealing with their own personal issues, whatever they might be, your own personal dirt. Yeah, we got to keep the law, but you still got to be working on you. Because after you got all the knowledge about who you are, who you belong to, the history and all of that, then you got to start working on you, man. All the dirt that's in you, that's been instilled in you since you was a little kid. We got years of dirt to clean up, y'all. I don't think we really understand that. I think just because you came into the truth, that all that dirt and all the things you experienced is gone. Nope. Those things still affect you. And it's crazy. A lot of this stuff we don't find out until we get into relationships and we get married. Then all that dirt start coming out. All the things we thought was gone and forgotten that we've moved past starts coming back. Verse 15, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Listen to this. God forbid, which means no. Don't be going out and just saying, oh, well, the Most High going to forgive me because I'm under grace. Oh, he's going to give me a second chance. Remember the scriptures talk about willfully sinning. Ain't no more sacrifice for sin. You can't keep doing wrong. It says, verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey. Whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. Why do they say sin unto death? Because you keep doing it, and eventually it's going to kill you. Whatever dirt you're doing, if you continue to do it, eventually it's going to kill you. Or it's going to kill your spirit. to where the Most High can't even dwell in you no more, that there's no godliness left in you, that you're like the scripture calls reprobate, which means incapable of being saved. Let's get history of Susanna, because people might not believe that sin can actually drive you and take control of your body and your spirit. I'm going to give us an example. History of Susanna, chapter 1, let me start at verse 7. It says, and read the story. Go back and read the story, y'all. It was two men that was in lust with Susanna, so much so that her life was in danger behind their lies, because they was caught up in their lust. I'm about to read it. It says, now when the people departed away at noon, Susanna went into her husband's garden to walk. And the two elders, these are older men, they should know better, right? It says, saw her going in every day and walking. So they was watching her every day, stalking her basically, so that their lust was inflamed toward her. What does it mean, inflamed? Seeing a fire start and blaze and get the full flame, it just encompassed everything that's around it. It's just telling us how their lust took over everything, even their judgment. It says, and they perverted their own mind. Their own, they did this. Then nobody, the devil made me do it. Nah, nigga, you did it. This is how we be, man. Oh man, every time that thing get me. I don't think I read it in James. It says every man is tempted by his own lust. This is what it's talking about right here. It says, and they perverted their own mind. We pervert our own minds. Don't know other thing damn pervert our own mind. The only thing the obstacles do is prevent or present an occasion for us to dabble in our lust or to fall into our lust. Those opportunities are going to be there. But the lust that's inside of you is the thing that's going to go ahead and do the lust. It's the thing that's going to go ahead and give into it. No different than these men. It says, and they perverted their own mind and turned away their eyes that they might not look unto heaven nor remember just judgment. You see this? You see how strong lust can be? They wouldn't turn their eyes into heaven, meaning what? They wouldn't even look at the Most High. They wouldn't even consider him. This is how we be. We be in our lust, in our dirt. We don't even consider the Most High. We only consider what the lust is telling us to do, y'all, what the dirt is telling us to do. It'll control you if you let it. It says, nor remember the just judgment. It will affect the way you look at things to where abominable, wicked things seem normal, or there's nothing wrong with it. Reading on, verse 10. And albeit they both were wounded with her love, yet does not one shew another his grief. So they were hiding their lust from each other. Verse 11. For they were ashamed to declare their lust that they desired to have to do with her. Yet they watched diligently from day to day to see her, stalking her. And the one said to another, let us now go home, for it is dinner time. So when they were gone out, they parted the one from the other. And turning back again, they came to the same place. So they said, okay, we're going to go home. And then both of them tricked each other. Neither one of them went home, turned around, came right back. And after that, they had asked one another the cause. So they mean, why you back? No, why you back? They acknowledged their lust. Man, she just do it for me. I got to have it. Pointed they a time both together when they might find her alone. This is the power of lust, y'all. We can't downplay this. We can't act like we ain't had this experience before. I ain't gonna lie, I have. I've been here before. I ain't saying this proudly either. It's embarrassing. It's shameful. Go to Proverbs chapter 25, verse 28. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. He that had no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls, man. That's what I'm talking about, y'all. You have to get control of yourself. Don't give in to your lust. Ecclesiastes chapter 37, verse 27. I'm going to speed up, y'all, because I only got a couple minutes left. Ecclesiastes chapter 37. And verse 27, and it reads, my son, prove thy soul in thy life and see what is evil for it and give not that unto it. When it says prove your soul, man, you got to know what you can handle and what you can't handle. There's certain things you can be around, certain things you can't be around. It says, and see what is evil for it. See what's good for you, what ain't good for you. And give not that unto it. When you see those things you can't handle, you can't be around, don't be around them then, man. I mean, y'all going to do that? I'm good. Y'all go ahead. I'm going to chill. Ain't nothing wrong with that. You're supposed to know your limitations. You're supposed to know what you can handle, what you can't. It says, for all things are not profitable for all men. Like I said, some things you can't handle, but other people can. It says, neither hath every soul pleasure in everything. Be not insatiable in any dainty thing, nor too greedy upon meat. Man, be even killed. That's the way we're supposed to be. But that's the way you control your spirit. That's the way you exercise that self-control. You got to know yourself. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 21. And it reads, it says, seek not out the things that are too hard for thee, neither search the things that are above thy strength. Man, once again, going back to, you got to know your triggers. You got to know what you can handle and what you can't handle. And you can't just be walking around like nothing affects you. You got to be aware of these things. Let's get St. John chapter 3. St. John chapter 3, and let's start at verse 19. It says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light is talking about Christ. Remember Christ said he is the way, the light. No man come to the Father by him. So if Christ said he's coming to the light, it says, but men love darkness. Men love what? Hiding their dirt. Not coming clean, not confessing, like I went over in the first part of the class. But we got to understand that's the part of the process of getting clean. You got to confess. You got to be honest with yourself. It says verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So if you keep doing this evil, you hate Christ because he represents the light. It says, and you don't want to come near Christ. You don't want to study. You don't want to come around. You don't want to fast. You don't want to pray because you're going to get exposed of the healing process. Not only you don't want to get exposed, you don't want to stop doing it. You want to stay in your negative. You want to stay in your dirt. Let's get Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 25. This is the last scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 25. And it reads, in the day of prosperity, there is the forgetfulness of affliction. Now, the reason I put this in there, y'all, is because we tend to forget what our battles are. when we okay, we clean for the moment, we don't have no issues, we tend to forget that we have this particular issue, but that's how you get caught tripping. It says, in the day of affliction, there is no remembrance of prosperity. And the second part of that is, when you do get hit with those temptations, you got to remember what you did to get out of it. You got to remember the routine that you had that kept you from getting dirty, that kept you from the negative, that kept you from being unrighteous. And we got to keep in mind that these things will forfeit, like I said, our interest into the kingdom, man. These things are going to cause us to be in that damn fire that the Most High and Yahweh Shah is bringing on this place, further and further away from the Father, y'all. And we really have to be aware of these things, because these things are very detrimental for our spirit, man. Not just our spirit. If you have children, your children will inherit your negative, because children soak things up like a sponge, man. And I know I ain't the only one that be peeping. I watch my kids all the time, man, and be seeing certain things that are in myself that I see in them, or certain things is in their mothers that I see in them to be dealt with. Has to be rooted up and plucked up out of them. So, in closing, y'all, study, pray, fast, from whatever your negative is or the trigger of your negative. Go to live class. Find a hobby. Stay busy. Keep your mind occupied. And find a brother or a sister that's going to tell you the truth about yourself and not make excuses for you and your negative and your dirt. So utilize all your resources, man. That, y'all, I'm going to say all praises to the Most High. May the Most High grant you the strength and the fortitude that you're going to need to fight your battles, to keep yourself clean, or to keep cleaning yourself, I should say. The Wadim Shabbat for hooking up the broadcast. I want to say shalom to all of Israel, 12 tribes worldwide. Thanks for tuning in to the show, y'all. Shalom.